Last time we were on the pastor study together, we were looking at Psalm 119 in verses 41 to 48, and time ran out. The title of our study there is The Authority of God's Word. And we were looking at that the psalmist in this section gives us some things that he experienced according to God's Word. We saw that he experienced the promises of God's Word in verse 41. He experienced the proclaiming of God's Word in verses 42 to 43 and verse 46. Number three, we saw that he experienced the permanence of God's Word in verse 44. Now, we want to pick up with our fourth point, in that the psalmist experienced the path of God's Word. Psalm 119, in verse number 45, the psalmist said this, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." So the path of God's Word, my friend, it is a path of liberty. A man is at liberty who lives according to God's Word. Notice with me in John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 8 with me, if you would. In John chapter 8, and in verse number 32 of John 8. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." True liberty, my friend, is found in a consecrated walk, not a lecherous walk. We have found freedom in America today because there are laws. Put a child inside a fenced yard. Within that yard, the child has liberty to go anywhere he wants. However, outside the fence, the child is subjected to many dangers. Automobile traffic, kidnapping, attack by a dog, and so forth and so on. You see, the freedom is inside the fence and not on the outside. Where does a train have the most liberty? On the track. If it jumps the track, it is in bondage. So we see that the path of God's Word, it is a path of liberty. Also, we want to see John, in John chapter 8, verse 34, we read, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You know, slaves to sin. People are slaves to alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, pornography. Everyone is a servant, a slave. The question is to whom? Whose servant are you? In fact, I remember the words of Paul, the apostle. We'll come back here to Psalm 119 in just a moment. But as I think about that, I think of Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me in Romans 6 for a moment. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about that same thing. About, you know, we're all servants or slaves. The only question is, to whom you are servant or to a, or a slave to. We read in Romans chapter 6, he says this. And let me get the context here. He says in verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." He's telling us that as believers, we're crucified with Christ, amen? We've been nailed, our sinful flesh has been nailed to the cross, amen? It says in verse 11, "Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he said, says in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin," he says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Then in verse 16, he says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Amen. Ye became the servants of righteousness. He says, but now, in verse 22, but now being freed from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. In other words, before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. You were a servant to sin. But now that you've been born again, you're saved. You're no longer. You're free. Amen. No longer to serve sin. You don't have to. Amen. You are a servant if you walk according the way God wants you to be. A servant under righteousness. Amen. So the path of God's word, the psalmist's experience, is a path of liberty. And that is so true. When God saved you from your sins, he freed you from that awful bondage of sin that you carried around. Amen. Before your salvation. Amen. Let's look at the fifth thing that the psalmist said he experienced. In verse 46, he says he experienced the power of God's word. The power of God's word. Going back to Psalm 119, verse 46, he said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. You see, God's word will give you confidence. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, in Romans 1, verse 16. Why? Why was he not ashamed of the gospel? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Look at also with me in 2 Timothy. Paul knew the power of God's word because he had confidence. He had confidence every time he got up and preached. Amen. Because he understood the power of God's word. He experienced firsthand the power of God's word as he saw many, many come to become saved. Amen. Through the preaching of the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. See, he has confidence. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He knew the power of God's word firsthand, Paul the Apostle did. And what he's saying here, he is confident, he's not ashamed, he knows, I know whom I believe. Amen. And what he's saying here is he knows that those that he led to the Lord, those that are saved, that are born again, that they're not going to lose their salvation. Amen. Look also in Philippians with me, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 with me, if you would. In Philippians chapter 1, look in verse number 20. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life, whether it be by life or by death. Again, here's a man, the Apostle Paul, a man, flesh and blood like you and I. But he knew firsthand. He experienced the power of God's word, and he was able to make these statements. I'm not ashamed, he said, but that with all boldness, amen, as always, so know also in Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether he be alive or whether he be dead, amen. Because he saw firsthand the power of the word of God. The sixth thing that the psalmist experienced was the pleasures of God's word. Turning back with me, if you would now, to verse 47 of Psalm 119. He said, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. You see, we delight in what does us good and what we love. The more we become acquainted with the word, the deeper our affection for it becomes. A man in Kansas City was severely injured in an explosion. Evangelist Robert L. Sumner tells about him in his book entitled The Wonder of the Word. You see, the victim's face was badly disfigured, and he lost his eyesight as well as both hands. He was a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. Hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. But to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed by the explosion. One day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. Like a flash, he thought, I can read the Bible using my tongue. At the time Robert Sumner wrote his book, the man had read through the entire Bible 4 times using his tongue. While we are making excuses for not reading the Bible, this man was finding a way he could read the Bible. Why? Why was that? Because he enjoyed it and he loved it. George Mueller, amen, read the Bible through over 100 times in his lifetime. And of course, we know of George Mueller. He lived in England and had many orphanages, amen. Took in many strays from the streets of London, amen. But he was a great man of prayer, amen. Never directly asked for donations, but they came in through his prayer. And he knew the precious promises of God, and he knew the pleasure of the Bible, obviously, if he read it through 100 times. The seventh and last thing that we see that the psalmist experienced here in Psalm 119 was the praise of God's word in verse 48. Psalm 119, verse 48. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I think sometimes as independent Bible-believing Baptists, we have a tendency not to show our joy, at least up here in the north. I know it down south, people know how to praise the Lord and not afraid, amen, to shout and praise God and raise their hand, amen. But I think especially up here in the north, and maybe with some other independent Bible-believing Baptists, they don't want to be pegged as charismatic, amen. Well, we don't certainly want to be charismatic in our doctrine, but maybe in our praise we need to be a little bit more expression, express what we're feeling, amen, with an uplifted hand, if that's how the Holy Spirit is leading you. In fact, the uplifted hand is the posture of praise, amen, is the posture of praise. Looking in Psalm 63, we see then, he says, My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. He lifted up his hands, the psalmist did here, because he was filled of joy and praise for God's word. Amen. And we need to get excited. We get excited about the wrong things, do we not, folks? Amen. You know, I live up in the Boston area. A lot of people get excited about the ball team here, the Red Sox, or the football team, the Patriots, amen. And a lot of them are Christians too. But how many of them get excited about the Word of God? Not too many. At least I haven't run into them, amen. But uplifted hands is the posture of praise. Look at in Psalm 63. Psalm 63 with me. And when you get to Psalm 63, verse number 4. This is Psalm of David. And in Psalm 63 in verse 4, he says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Amen. The psalmist wasn't afraid to express how he was feeling about God's word and about God's name. Thus will I bless thee. Amen. He's showing an uplifted hand is a posture of praise. He's blessing God by the outward show of his hands being lifted up. Amen. Uplifted hands is the posture of praise. Uplifted hands is the posture of prayer. Amen. Look at in Psalm 28 with me. Psalm 28. Psalm 28 in verse number 2. Psalm 28, verse number 2. Again, another Psalm of David. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Here's a man, David, who when he prayed with uplifted hands, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Uplifted hands. We need to be a people of uplifted hands. Praise the Lord. In a posture of praise and prayer, amen. Look at also in Psalm 141, in verse number 2. Psalm 141, in verse number 2. It says this, again another Psalm of David. Let my prayer be sent forth before thee as incense, in the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Can you see the emotion? Amen. The expression of his love for God. He was excited. He was excited to be able to pray to a holy God, to lift up his hands. Amen. As incense. You know, the incense in the Old Testament was a picture of type. of prayer. Prayer going up to God, amen. Look also in 1 Timothy. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy with me. In chapter 2, verse 8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. You see, my friends, if we're busy lifting up our hands in prayer, our hands will be busy, so they won't get into things they shouldn't get into, amen? We won't have time. Because our focus and our attention will be in prayer and lifting up holy hands. Amen. Everywhere. Praise the Lord. Also, uplifted hands we've seen as a posture of praise. Uplifted hands is a posture of prayer. And uplifted hands is a posture of preference, meaning embrace or affection. Uplifted hands is also a posture of surrender, submission. You see people when they surrender, when an army surrenders, often you'll see them with their hands raised. Or when the police arrest somebody, they say, put up your hands. So it's a posture of surrender. Maybe some of you listening today need to uplift your hands in a posture of surrender, submission to God. Maybe some of you are rebels. Maybe you've rebelled against God and what He's trying to do in your life. Amen. You know, if you find the things of God a hardship, my friend, then there's something wrong with your walk. If you call yourself a Christian, amen, then reading, praying, attending church, supporting that church through your tithes and offerings shouldn't be grievous or hard. You should want to do it. Amen. You know, He says in His Word, God loveth a cheerful giver. You should be happy and full of joy that you're able to give to your church. Amen. That God has prospered you in such a way that you're able to give to the work of the Lord. You know, it's amazing. Here's a psalm written entirely just about, except for few verses that we mentioned in the introduction in our study of 119, devoted to the Word of God. Amen. And as you go through it, you get to feel how the psalmist, how much he loved the Word of God, how much he was thankful to have the Word of God, to have the precepts, the testimonies. Amen. The laws, the statutes of God, to be able to hold in His hand and to read. You know, we're blessed living in this church age, the age of grace. We have so much more to be thankful, amen, than we have more than the Old Testament saints had, if you think about it. First of all, we have God's full written revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, 66 books in one book. Not only that, amen, but also we have an indwelling Holy Spirit that has sealed you and I until the day of redemption. Praise the Lord for that. Once you call upon the name of the Lord, that Holy Spirit comes and indwells you permanently. Amen. It won't leave you. You know, and praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord, once you're saved, amen, you cannot lose your salvation. And praise the Lord for that blessing also. So we see here in this passage of Psalm 119, verses 41 to 48, we see the authority of God's Word. Amen. Again, we looked at seven things. Seven things that the psalmist experienced. Again, what's important according to God's Word. And those seven things, again, just to review, are the promises of God's Word in verse 41, the proclaiming of God's Word in verses 42 to 43 and verse 46, the permanence of God's Word in verse 44. You know, we live in a constantly changing world, but one thing that never changes is Almighty God and His Holy Word. And of course, when I say the Scriptures, the Holy Word, God's Word, the words of God, I mean the King James Bible, folks. That is the Word of God. I do not just use it, but I believe it. Amen. There are many people that just use it. Amen. But when you get talking to them, they don't really believe it. They don't really believe that those that God was able to preserve His infallible and errant inspired words. Amen. The fourth thing we saw that the psalmist experienced was the path of God's Word in verse 45. Then we saw he experienced the power of God's Word in verse 46. We know in Hebrews we're told the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And then the sixth thing we saw that the psalmist experienced according to God's Word was the pleasures of God's Word. And then the last point we saw, point seven, the praise of God's Word in verse 48. Amen. So that concludes our study today on Psalm 119. And when we come together again on the pastor's study, we'll continue our study. Again, we're doing a series of studies here on Psalm 119. We've gone with this study, we're up to verse number 48. Next time we're together, Lord willing, we'll cover verses 49 to 56. Amen. And again, as I've mentioned before on the broadcast, each one of these studies is available on audio cassette tape. Just drop me a line and tell me which study that you'd like, or if you'd like all of them when they're completed, amen. Just drop me a line again. I praise God that we've been able to come together, to meet together again on the pastor's study today. And I appreciate, I know I may not hear from many of you, but I know as I talk to the folks here at WGCR that many of you are listening, and I do appreciate that.